Good morning. First, I want to introduce myself. My name is Dustin Cohen. I attend Singing River Church of Christ over in Florence, Alabama. This is only my third sermon, but ironically enough, it's actually my third different congregation. The first was at Singing River here recently, the second being at Hillsboro Heights over in Moulton. I am quite nervous with this sermon, however, though, because it is a completely different sermon or lesson than I presented to those two. I know Stacy's not here, but I'd like to thank him for giving me a call or message and inviting me to come over and fill in for him while he's over at Piney Grove. I know he's not here to hear the appreciation, but I appreciate him letting me come over. My beautiful wife, Katie, is here with me this morning. We're both honored to be here worshiping in spirit and truth with you this morning. I pray that everything I speak on this morning is lined up perfectly according to God's word and is 100% truth, not adding to nor taking away from God's divinely inspired book. I pray that if it does not line up, book, chapter, and verse, that you, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, please correct me and help me out of my error, so that I can continue to grow in my walk with God and become a more faithful servant of the gospel. The title for this morning's lesson is Yielding to the Light. I would like for us to dig deeper into the subject of obedience. The verse on the screen, Deuteronomy verse 5, 33, states, "You shall walk and all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." This morning I'm going to have a slight twist for application's sake. And everyone who is here this morning who is familiar with driving knows what a traffic light is and what each color of that traffic light represents. If you notice in the picture here, I have an intersection. First light I want to look at is the red light. A red light is a traffic light or signal that shines red to indicate that drivers must stop. God's word has given us many red lights, as we talked about this morning in Galatians 5. There's a lot of things we should not do as Christians. Things we must stop doing in order to be a faithful servant and obedient to the gospel. The next light on that light is a yellow light. A yellow light is a traffic signal that indicates to drivers to slow down, proceed with caution, or be very watchful and careful in how you go through that intersection. Just like with the red, God's word has given us many cautions that we must look for. And finally, a green light. My favorite light of all. Means you get to go. This shines, telling us to go, move forward, continue on our journey to our next destination. Well, just like the previous two, God has given us many green lights in Scripture that we must do as faithful Christians to continue our walk with Him. John 8, verse 12 states, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The lights that we just talked about, red, yellow, and green, reflect Christ and what He tells us to do, not to do, and where to be cautious. God has given each of us these traffic lights or commands we must yield to or obey in order to not only follow the law, but to protect us from danger or accidents if we fail to yield to that particular light, which is Christ, His Word. Christ also states in John 1:1 that He is the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is not only the light, He is the Word. We have to follow every command He is giving us. The first one we want to look at this morning is the red light. I want to discuss a few scriptures of things that we must not do. In Bible class, we talked about several things we should not do. This is a little different aspects of it. The first verse I want us to look at this morning in the study is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to shame. We must not sin against God. We must remove sin from our lives. The first part of that verse says, awake to righteousness. Righteousness stands for being right in the sight of God, being pure, being holy. We have to remove the sin from our life to be right before God in His presence. Next verse I want us to look at, Matthew 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. I know this verse states little children, but could we not substitute that as saying all men? We got to get out of the way and not be a hindrance or a stumbling block. God loves everyone the same and has offered every person the exact same salvation. And we as Christians must stop turning away those who are in sin, but rather love them. We're not to love the sin, but we are to love the sinner. Jesus tells the disciples here to let the little children come to Him and not forbid them from coming, because the kingdom of heaven is for everyone. We've got to get out of our own way sometimes and start loving sinners. Don't love the sin. The next verse, Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. This verse tells us to stop striving. Striving can be looked as a good thing, striving towards a goal. But in this verse, it is the plural of strife. The dictionary defines this term as struggles with or vigorously fights against. But rather, this verse tells us it is honorable for a man to not do that. We cannot be a hateful person. We have to show love, kind, patience, if you say that, because being a Christian is not about starting a conflict or starting a fight, but rather being a real Christian is turning from that before the episode or drama or scene unfolds and gets worse. We must stop being rude or puffed up about who we are. We're all sinners at one time. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 tells us, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. We must stop being our own worst enemy and deceiving ourselves. Because if we allow ourselves to think too highly of our own selves and to think we know all the answers, we really are foolish. It must be brought down to a fool's level, so that we can become wise in Christ and not in our own wisdom. Our own wisdom will not get us anywhere. Although there are many, many more instances in Scripture that tells us things in which we must stop doing, this verse sums it up in my opinion. Isaiah 1 verse 16 states, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before your eyes, cease to do evil. We got to wash ourselves clean, make ourselves pure, stand right before God, remove the evil from our eyes and from our vision. I take that as remove yourselves from the lust of your eyes. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, like we talked about this morning, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Christians cannot continue in the wrong. Because if we do, we put our salvation in harm's way. As if when we run a red light, we put our vehicles and our lives in danger of a horrific accident. We must remove the evil, and as best as possible, remove the temptations from our lives where it is possible for us to. Because if we don't, we can fall to the snares of the devil and become an accident waiting to happen. The next light is used as a bridge between the red and the green light, though. The red and green light are completely opposite. One means to stop, the other one means to go. Well, we do have this yellow light in there, which proceed with caution. It is for our protection against the adversary and to guide us safely along our journey on this pathway to heaven. 1 John 4:1 tells us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world." This verse tells us we must not believe in every doctrine or spirit or whatever you want to use, but be cautious. Test that spirit. I hope you're testing me this morning. It is required of us to see whether it is truly from God. Because there are many false prophets in the world, although prophets are not present today. This still applies to us in many, many ways, because we do have to test things and be alert of who we deal with or who we hang around with. We cannot allow ourselves to be influenced and go astray from the truth, because our soul's eternity depends on it. The next verse I want us to look at is Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Would y'all agree today's world is an evil world? "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." This verse tells us to look very carefully. Use caution is how we are to walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of our time. If we're idle, we can become subject to temptation. Do not get caught up in the evil of this world. Be wise and alert to your surroundings. As the rest of this verse states, because the days are evil. How can we fend off this evil and use caution? Well, isn't it grand that the Lord gives us the guide to being wise and alert in verse 17? And that we must understand the will of the Lord. How do we do that? By studying His Word, praying to Him, and becoming closer to God. Get to know God. God give us a way to know Him. His book. The next verse, Colossians 4, verse 2. Very powerful verse. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." This verse speaks of prayer, our avenue, our connection with God. It tells us to do it steadfastly and continuously. We can't stop. Once we do, we let our guards down. But rather, we must be watchful in doing this with great thanksgiving in our hearts. To be watchful means to not let your guard down, but rather stay cautious and alert to your surroundings. Because the next verse we're going to look at is 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober-minded, be watchful." We see them exact words again. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." That very someone can be me or you. He is always after you. This example also states to be watchful, but it also tells us to be sober-minded or have a clear mind. Don't let the world cloud your judgment. You have to have a clear mind, because we do have an adversary who is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can attack and devour. He is a vicious beast. They call him the king of the jungle for a reason. I used to coach high school football, and I played football as well. And one thing our coach always taught us and drilled in our heads is to keep your head on a swivel. Because if you don't, and you let your mind wander, or you place your focus on something less important, you will get blindsided. And I can attest to that. It hurts. I have gotten hit more than once because my head was not on that swivel. Well, this is also true in football, but it's also true spiritually. If we're not watchful and we're not paying attention to our surroundings and we become lazy as Christians and not watchful, we do have the devil waiting for us with our guard down. And when he does, he will attack. And lastly, on the caution light, let's look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Here again, we see the words, be watchful. Do you think God wants us to be careful and watch? This is three scriptures that he states, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. How do we be watchful? We got to stand firm in the faith. We got to put our feet on the rock and stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Being a watchful person in this world today is sometimes frowned upon. Some may consider it soft or weak for you keeping your guard up and always looking over your shoulder. Being alert and watchful, however, in God's sight is a testament of strength and love. I mean, we do have to keep our guard up at all times. The last light on that traffic light, though, is green. It simply means to go or press onward towards your destination. There are many things a Christian must do to please God or stay strong on our faithful journey or walk with Him. Whether it is going or doing, this light is an action light, something we must do as a Christian to keep pressing on and living the best we can before God's eyes. The first verse I want us to look to as a green light is James 1, verse 22, a very, very familiar scripture. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The Bible gives us a very clear command here. That command being, we cannot just sit back and be hearers, but rather we must be doers. Not just any doer, though. Doers of the word of God. Didn't Christ say earlier that he is the word and he is the light? So we must do what he says to do. This goes back to being obedient to God's command, like we stated earlier in Deuteronomy 5:33. The next verse is Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This also relates back to Proverbs 20, verse 3 we talked about a while ago. We can't be strifeful Christians. This verse is a clear-cut message. We must, by any means possible, live in peace with other men. Don't be a quarrelsome or rude person. Rather, be loving and compassionate towards all mankind. After all, didn't Christ die for us, all of us? As simple as this next verse that we're fixing to look at is, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Only three words, but three very powerful words. Pray without ceasing. This is critical that all Christians heed to or yield to its command. Praying is a vital means of communication with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is also a powerful tool and necessity in our battle as Christians against the adversary, the devil. We must not stop praying. Does that mean every breath we do is a prayer? No. It does mean every day we need to be in contact with God. Like our previous verse in Colossians stated, This is a continuous thing we must do steadfastly and also be watchful in doing it. The next verse, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go. There's that green light. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Does that not mean obedience? And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. This truly is a green light situation. One cannot sit back and watch the world go by. God does not like, nor will He allow His children to be couch potato Christians. We must go and make disciples, grow His kingdom, the church, by using another action word there beginning in verse 20, teaching. And teaching them what? The obedience or observance to the things which I have commanded you. The last green light situation I want us to look at this morning, some might call it the Great Commission. Matthew 16, verse 15. And He said to them, go, there's another green light, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We must go. We can't sit back and watch the world go by. We must go preach the gospel. What is this gospel we must preach? It's quite simple. We preach that Christ died for you. We preach Christ to those who are lost. Christ is the key. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We must preach Him and Him alone. We cannot preach an alternative method. So in closing, I suggest that we follow not one, not two, but all three of these lights. Why is it so important, you might ask, though, that we can't just go? We also need to stop when He tells us to stop. It is important that we do not become lackluster and not yield to these lights. Those lights being the written word. We put ourselves in danger spiritually. Just like if we don't heed to the red light and run it, you can be in a car accident and injured or worse. You can lose your life. Could that be spiritually also? I believe so. Spiritually, this can cause one to spend an eternity in a horrible place of torture and pain that is never ending. That word means a lot, never ending. If we go when the Bible tells us to stop, what can protect us from a crash collision with Satan, though? Or if we are reckless and don't keep our guard up and be watchful, how can we know we are in danger? And lastly, if we don't go and don't do when we are supposed to, our past can creep up on us from behind, as if a car coming behind you to rear end you. Why is it so bad to have the past come at you? Were we not sinners? When we revert back to sin, our souls don't have protection, putting us in danger of losing our soul to the devil and his angels for an eternity. So this morning, I want us to look and really think about yielding to those lights. Going when God tells us to go. Be careful when He tells us to be careful, because we do have an adversary seeking us like a roaring lion. Not a little mouse. He's a roaring lion. He's waiting to pounce on us. And if the Bible tells us not to do something, I suggest we take heed to it. Because if we do go when He says not to, there's no guarantee you're going to make it through that intersection safely. Because the devil's waiting in that intersection. Again, I do want to say how grateful I am of being asked to come and grow in my faith and present a lesson from God's Word to you this morning. And I pray that this lesson was as beneficial to you as it was for me in preparing it for you. thanks again from me and my wife, Katie, for this wonderful opportunity to come spend time with you this morning. Lastly, in closing, if there is anyone that hasn't started your journey with Christ and obeyed the gospel, that time is now. The invitation is always open. Or if you have need or prayers of the saints, please come forward now as we stand and sing.